we turn to God's holy word and to the gospel according to Luke and to chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Beginning our reading from the first verse. This is God's holy and infallible word that we read. Luke chapter 22 from verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Amen. Those are our reading at verse 23 of Luke chapter 22. I'd ask you once again to turn to God's word and to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and to chapter 11. The verses that we're considering for our sermon today are verses 24 and 25. They're obvious verses for the communion supper itself, and I'm going to be staying with those during communion, but I want to preach also a message in our sermon from these verses. Because our theme is remembrance. Our theme is remembrance for our communion season. Those who were at our evening pre-communion service last week already know that, and we looked at a couple of verses from Psalm 25 last Sabbath evening about remembering. And here we see very specific verses about remembering, verses 24 and 25, remembering Christ, and particularly the death of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, verse 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, that is the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." There are certain events in life that are important to remember. Husbands, you know the importance of remembering your wedding anniversary. Your remembering also gives rise to activity. You might buy your wife flowers or a gift of some kind, or you might take her out for a meal. Children, you want your parents to remember your birthday, and perhaps you remind them of your birthday coming up a few days beforehand, because by them remembering your birthday, you get to have a party. You might have cousins or friends along to your house to celebrate with you, and you're given lots of lovely presents. You want your birthday to be remembered. And there are a number of places in the Bible where God exhorts his people to remember something, or even to remember a particular person. And often that remembering involves them recognizing and appreciating the significance of a particular event with that person. For example, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus gives the command to his disciples, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. And this was a warning to his disciples about the folly of rebellious unbelief. The commandment from the Lord Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25, as he institutes the Lord's Supper there, is another command to God's people to remember someone else, to remember the Lord Jesus himself. And that remembrance goes to the very heart of the Christian's faith. Jesus, with bread in hand, at a table in the upper room, gives thanks for it, and he breaks it, and he says to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in verse 25, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So these verses tell us that we are to remember Christ. We are never to forget Christ. We are to remember him. That's what he has commanded his people to do with the aid of the Lord's Supper. There are many things that we could remember about Christ. We could remember his ability to teach. We could remember his example. We could remember his great works, his miracles. But the primary subject we are to remember concerning Christ is his death. And that's the whole context of these verses. His body broken points to his death. And when Christ says, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, in my blood," He's speaking about his blood that was about to be shed on the cross. Now, when we think of a loved one who has left this scene of time, we tend to think on their life. We have memories of the things they said and the things they did while they were alive. The death of Queen Elizabeth was a very public event that will stay in people's memories for a long time. But people are more likely to remember and appreciate the significance of her life. However, with Christ, who is King, it is different because of what he achieved in his death. And in this message, we're simply going to consider two aspects of Christ's death. What are we to remember about Christ's death? And then secondly, why are we to remember Christ's death? Then we're going to consider a third aspect when we come to the Lord's table, how we are to remember Christ's death. So first of all, what are we to remember about Christ's death? Well, we're to remember that Christ in his death provided redemption for sinful people. He provided redemption for sinners. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. There is no pardon for sin. At its most basic level, redemption is deliverance from the power and the consequences of sin by the payment of a price. And the price is a very heavy price. It is the death of the sinless Son of God. That's what it took for sinners like us to be delivered from the power of sin and the consequences of our sins. Without this redemption, we would have to pay the price for our own sins. With this redemption, Christ has paid the price for those who believe in him. He has taken the punishment for your sins if you are trusting in him. When he died on the cross, he died as a substitute for you, and he has atoned for your sins. This is the heart of the gospel. This is great news, such good news, because all are sinners. And the only way to escape punishment from God, the only way to escape the justice of God, is to realize and to believe that we can truly be redeemed from the consequences of our sins through what Christ has done in his death on the cross. And that's what we are to remember about Christ more than anything else. People who say that Christ was a good example, and as a good example was everything, or people who say that his teaching was everything, such people are missing the point and they are missing the gospel. Christ's example of holy living and performing good works are not unimportant. His teaching is not unimportant. But attempting to follow his example alone will not redeem you. Performing good deeds will not redeem you. If that were the case, then our redemption would be by our own good deeds. But good deeds cannot compensate for the bad deeds, so many of which we have all done. A man who commits adultery can't say to his wife, well, I was very kind to you for many years, so all the good that I did for you will make up for this one act of unfaithfulness. And we've all committed many sins against God. No amount of effort to compensate God by being good and doing good can ever satisfy God or his justice. Our debt to God is too great. But the great debt sinners can't pay, Christ, we know, has paid. He has paid that debt for many, and he has done it with his own life. And that is what it took, his death. And God has declared to the world that he has accepted the sacrifice of his son's life as the atonement for sin. The Apostle Paul, writing to believers in Rome, said in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To whom and how is this redemption applied? Well, it is applied by faith. And contrary to what is sometimes preached in certain branches of the church, Christ did not die for everyone. He did not die for everyone. He died for those who believe in him. For all who are sound in mind, redemption is applied to those who believe. Faith in Christ and in his work of redemption through his death is the ordinary means by which that redemption is applied. There is nothing magical about it. You don't have to go to a certain place, be somewhere special. All you have to do is to read about this in God's word and believe it and put your trust in Christ and in the power of his death for his redemption to be applied to you. Those who consider Christ's death unfortunate, or a catastrophic mistake, or just like the death of any other man, cannot have Christ's redemption applied to them, for they don't believe in the power of his death. They don't believe in the power of his blood to save them. They are relying on something else, or on someone else, or they're not relying on anything to reconcile them to God. The reality is, they remain in their sins and they are under God's condemnation for their sins. Redemption is what every person needs, and redemption is accomplished by Christ alone and in his death alone. So that is what we need to remember about Christ's death. That is what we are reminded of as we come before his table and we partake of the elements of bread and wine. The power of Christ in his death. It's one thing to know and to believe that Christ in his death has accomplished redemption for sinners. But let's come to your second question, which is, why? Why are we to remember Christ's death? Why did Christ say to his disciples, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me? Why does he want us to remember his broken body and his blood shed? Not just on one occasion remember, but to frequently remember this. He says at the end of verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We partake of the Lord's Supper 3 times per year. On each occasion, we are remembering the death of Christ. Other denominations remember each month, others each week. However frequently we partake of the Lord's Supper, what is clear from this verse and the practice of the New Testament church is that the sacrament is to be repeated. It's just not a one-off event that a church has every 100 years or so. It is to be repeated. And on each occasion, as it is repeated, we are to remember the significance of the Lord's death. Why did the Lord command such a practice? Well, there are a few reasons. First of all, the Lord's Supper, in which we are to remember the death of Christ, is a means of grace. It's a means of grace. Just as the preaching of the gospel is a means of grace, the Lord's Supper is another means of grace. That means there is blessing to be bestowed on the believer as you remember what Christ has done for you when you're partaking of the bread and the wine. Your faith is strengthened and your love for Christ is renewed as you contemplate again what Christ has done for you in dying on the cross. Another reason why we are to remember Christ's death is because redemption is so precious. So precious. Things in this world that are precious to people are looked on and they are admired. A rich man buys a precious diamond worth millions of pounds. He puts it in a safe for safekeeping and he locks up the safe. But every now and again he goes to the safe, he unlocks it and he takes out the diamond and he looks at it and he says, oh, there's an angle I hadn't seen before. And he looks at all the colours as light is refracted through the diamond and he admires it and he smiles at it and he enjoys it. Well, redemption is much more precious than the most expensive diamond in the world. We ought to desire to look at our redemption, to study it, to think about it, to reflect upon it, to desire the experience of possessing it. Those who possess it ought to desire to consider it and to look upon it and to remember it, to think about it, to look at it from every angle and realize what a precious gift this is that I have. It is mine. Christ has given me this wonderful redemption. And should something happen to me today and I'm no longer on this earth, I will be with Christ and I will know fully what this redemption is all about. Then again, we are to remember Christ's death because we will easily fall into worldliness and sin if we forget it. Do people who are of this world remember Christ's death? Do they ever think about redemption? Do they ever consider Christ's blood precious? Not at all. Those who are not of the faith are not redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the believer can easily start seeing things in this world as precious. We need reminded that the world is passing away and everything in it. Remembering the cross of Christ, remembering the death of Christ, refocuses our minds on what is truly precious, our eternal redemption purchased by Christ in his death. Today we have this opportunity once again of remembering Christ's death in the memorial of the Lord's Supper that he has instituted. And to you who partake of that supper by faith, however weak you feel your faith to be, Christ, who is risen, will strengthen it. However lackluster your love for Christ, he is ready to renew it. However much this world has been drawing you away from Christ, see his death in this memorial of his supper, and Christ will change your perspective, so that you see once again it is he who is precious beyond anything else this world can give you. Amen.